precious Jesus. Precious, precious Jesus. We are mindful of the weight of this day. We pray, Lord God, that you would receive our heartfelt praise, our thanks, our gratitude, that you would pay for us a debt we could never pay. Oh, Lord Jesus, fill us with eternal gratitude for the beauty of what you've done. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking time from your schedules to join us. I apologize in advance for the emotion that will probably overshadow most of us today. Interesting day, to say the least. I'm going to take a look at the psalm to begin. Psalm 22. It's the psalm that Jesus quotes as he is on the cross, experiencing the act of becoming sin for us, so that through that we become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Jesus quotes a psalm of David, as we said earlier, Psalm 22. And I can only wonder at the heartbreak of David as well, who pours out his emotion in such a way that Jesus quotes those very words while he is becoming the sacrifice of the ages. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted, they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you I was cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones by the stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word today. Years ago, I was reading an interview with a Christian actor. I wish I had saved it. I don't recall now who the individual was, but the question was asked, would you ever consider playing the role of Jesus? And the actor responded, no, absolutely not. I would never do that. And the interviewer asked the question, why not? And the actor's response, I thought, was deep and profound. The actor said, any good actor can portray the physical pain of the crucifixion. But how do you portray the pain of separation from God? How do you portray the pain of abandonment? How do you portray the pain of the unity of the ages, the triune God who has always been in fellowship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How do you portray the anguish of crying out, my God, why am I here alone? And because I'm overwhelmed by that, the actor said I could never play the role of Jesus. And I thought, there's somebody who understands. There's somebody who sees. There's somebody who grasps. So much happens through the words of the psalmist here. David opened, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? And we read in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, that about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, or my God, why have you forsaken me? My mind goes back to the moments in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is at prayer. He knows this moment is coming. He knows that that tremendous sense of anguish is looming. And he says, Father, if it's possible, take this cup. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. He knows this moment of anguish is coming. He knows this moment of separation is coming when he must be the sacrifice for the weight of our offenses against God. He knows that that separation is coming, and yet he embraces the cup. The psalmist continues, yet you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm. I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. All who see me mock me. Matthew 27, verses 28 through 31 record that they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him. They mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him. And they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. And led him away to crucify him. The Creator, the one that John tells us was there from the beginning, dying at the hands of his own creation. Is there a more ultimate statement by mankind to God that we don't need you than that? And yet he submits. Yet he submits. So also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now. If he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And yet, there he goes to the cross, willingly, at the hands of his own creation. The psalmist continues in Psalm 22, "Yet you are he who took me from the womb, you who made me to trust you at my father's breast. On you I was cast from birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me. Trouble is near, and there is none to help." Matthew records in chapter 27, verses 24 through 26, that when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." The one individual in Jerusalem who could have put a stop to this washes his hands. And the statement of the psalmist is fulfilled. There is none to help. In response, the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. The psalmist continues, "I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death." Matthew records, "And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, for he had stated, I thirst. But the other said, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." John tells us in chapter 19, verses 33 through 35, "But when they had come to Jesus, they had seen that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. I am poured out like water," David had said, and Jesus fulfills. Back to the psalmist, "For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all of my bones. They stare and they gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Matthew records chapter 27, verse 35. "And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there." John continues, "When the soldiers had crucified him, they took his garments. They divided them into the four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but let us cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." The psalmist concludes this part of the passage, "But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen." And we can clearly remember Jesus in the garden, Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." We're not quite at the end of the psalm just yet. At least we're going to look at one more passage from Psalm 31. But before we do that, I would like to acknowledge that the weight of this day is significant. Joy and the blessings of eternity with God are what we celebrate. It's what this price was paid to achieve, and we will be, of all people, the most joyful on Sunday. But today we are sorrowful, we are mindful, we have a heavy heart because this had to happen. This is part of the plan of the ages. The plan that God knew would unfold when he said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and it was good. The cross of Christ is not a Band-Aid. It's part of the original plan. The Heavenly Father, our Lord our God, knew that these events would transpire. The Trinity was in full agreement. Jesus was on a collision course with the cross and victory over the grave the moment that Adam and Eve took hold of the fruit. And before we read our final psalm, I would like to remind you all that here at Calvary, the Lord's table is open to all believers in Jesus Christ. We are going to do things a little bit differently today. We have two communion stations set up in the back, one table over on my far right and one table over on my far left. And when we are finished with our final psalm, you may sit in the presence of the Spirit for as long as